It's Shahrzad and Susan coming to you social differently.
I know, unfortunately. And now I'm trying to find a house near you because you moved away from me and I feel incomplete. So now we're starting to look.
So excited about that. When you texted me the other day about looking in my neighborhood, I got really, really, really excited. Yeah, I live in a pocket, you know, outside of LA now, and it's magical here.
It's magical for you, but it's not magical for me anymore because you're not around. You're not around the corner like you used to be. That's how we built our relationship.
I feel like we really were able to like grow and do so much because we lived like less than 2 miles away from each other back in the day.
I know.
That was nice.
Well, you separated us.
The future is bright, hopefully.
Well, now I'm following you.
Yeah, good, 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 good. So Susan, how is life for you?
Life is fucked up right now for me. Like I feel out of my mind. You've been pissed at me. I can tell by the text message because you're like, where the hell is she? She's not answering me. People on my team are like, answer me right now. And I feel like I'm going to lose it because I am trying to keep up with my work. And then I'm trying to be a mom and I'm trying to keep my sanity too, because I'm staying inside. You know what a lot of people don't realize is I had just come off of maternity leave. So I had already been inside for 3 months and then I was only just starting to go back into the wild. And then this happened, but you know what? How's it going with you, Shahrzad? Have you started to talk to your kids about what's happening?
I will, but I want to go back to that. I wasn't mad at you, but I wanted you to call me back. And I was like, I see her on Instagram, but she can't respond to a text. Okay. Called you, I emailed you, I texted you. I'm like, I know you're there. You get in touch with me, little lady. So anyway, I wasn't mad. I just wanted to spank your butt.
That's mad Shahrzad, because you don't get that mad.
I'm doing okay. It's like, oh, I just heard Michael yell right when I said that. I heard him scream. I'm doing okay. You know, it's always this like thing of like, I am grateful. I truly am. You know, we just moved into this house that was a big upgrade from our other house with a really nice yard. So I'm so grateful for that. The weather has been starting to get better and sunshine will always make me happy. But I'm a social person. We've said this before. I'm a touchy feely kind of girl and I really miss people and stuff. Obviously.
Have you had to talk to Idris about what's happening? Is he starting to ask questions now? Cause yeah. You know, Nikash isn't asking questions. I can tell it's getting to him and he doesn't know why.
Yeah. Yeah. Idris, I've always been really honest with him. Whether that's good or bad, I'm not really sure, but it's just how I work and how I roll. And he's a super smart, wise kid. And I mean, by the time this goes up, he'll be six actually, in a few days. So, you know, I had to explain to him that he doesn't get a birthday party this year. And I'm just somebody, I've always done big birthday things for myself, which means I do big birthday things for my kids. And since his fifth birthday a year ago, he's been talking about having a police themed birthday for his sixth, literally like 360 days of talking about his birthday. So, you know, breaking the news to him that nobody can come over makes me sick. It makes me sad. You know, I know that may be like a first world problem, but it's just what's going on in my little world, you know, breaking my little kid's heart. But he's fine. He's, you know, resilient as kids are. And we're doing a lot of other things to replace having a party, which I am excited about. But I talked to him about it. He knows about the coronavirus. He knows a lot. He knows people die. He knows people have to wear masks. He knows we can't go outside. Our life definitely changed. You know, he's not going to school. He misses school. He misses his friends. He doesn't get his after school program. He was crushing it in like imagination theater and taekwondo, and he doesn't get to do that. So, you know, and he sees me being anxious, and he sees, you know, Michael spends 6 hours a day, it seems like, trying to get small business loans because he had to close his company and lay off, you know, a lot of people. And I'm an emotional person. I think all my emotions are very obvious by looking at me. You know, if I don't have a poker face, you know, if I'm sad or not, because it's all over my face. So I'm not good at hiding my emotions from my kids. So I've definitely explained to them. And Cyrus has been talking about the coronavirus a lot lately, and he's just three. He's been asking to come to the grocery store with me. And of course he can't. And he's saying, is it because you're the coronavirus, mom? You know?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
3-year-old knows that he can't go to the grocery store to pick out a snack with mommy because you're the coronavirus.
So sad. Well, that, you know, it's an interesting topic that we're having to have these kinds of conversations. And I think it's a great lead in for our guest today, actually.
It is. Thanks for letting me vent for a really long time. I actually feel a little lighter. So thanks, everybody. And yeah, our guest today is Dr. Sherry Duan. She is a neurosurgeon based out of Chicago. She's also a mom of 3. So hats off to her, because that just seems like a lot. You know, I often feel like I'm drowning with 2, and I don't have that hard of a job.
Okay. Thanks for bearing with us. We're all like figuring out.
This is only
out
like our second podcast like this.
Well, Zoom. Good for you ladies, you know, picking up and taking it, you know, where it needs to go, despite what the pandemic that we're in. So that's kudos to both of you.
Thanks. Well, thank you. I'm so happy that you're here. You're in Chicago, right?
That's right. I'm in Chicago.
How's the weather there?
Oh, the usual this time of the year, cold, rainy. You know, I mean, at some point I'll move out to California. It's been like my pipe dream for years, but my home is Chicago, so that's where I land.
Okay. I imported my husband from Chicago. He grew up right in the city, so I'm very familiar with your town. It's a great place.
It is. It's a good place. It's a lot of good family values for kids, so yeah, we're happy.
This episode of FAM is brought to you by Ember Wave. Susan, you know, you've heard me talk about Ember Wave. It's a magical little bracelet that helps you keep colder or warmer with the press of a button.
I absolutely have, and to the point where I am actually wearing one right now. I have my Ember Wave on, and I love this little bracelet. It really helps me out because I shift through, I don't know if it's my hormones or what it is. My temperature changes all day long. Sometimes I'm hot, sometimes I'm cold. So I just put it on and it really like helps change the way you feel. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it does. It helps change my temperature so I actually feel comfortable.
Did you know, Susan, that not feeling thermally comfortable can contribute to lost productivity, increased stress levels, and can be mentally exhausting? I know that Michael and I fight about temperatures sometimes, so this way, hey, we don't have to fight. So maybe this will save our marriage.
Yeah. Ember Labs' mission is to bring thermal wellness to the world, and they're passionate about using temperature to help every person feel better physically and emotionally.
I like that. And Ember Wave was invented by 3 MIT scientists. You guys can give the gift of thermal comfort this Mother's Day. Take $70 off the Ember Wave now during their site-wide sale. Go to emberwave.com/fam to redeem this offer. That's emberwave.com/fam. Boom. You have 3 kids. What are their ages? What is going on in your world right now?
Yeah. Well, give us your background and then tell us about your kids and everything.
Yeah. So, I'm a neurosurgeon. So, essentially that's the field that encompasses brain and spine surgery. I operate on adults, sometimes children. I am very fortunate to be one of 219 women neurosurgeons in the United States that are licensed and board certified. So, I'm very proud to be in that club. It's a small club, but I'm a proud member. I also have the privilege of having 3 beautiful kids, which is something that I was told so many times during my training that could never happen because you could never be a mom and a neurosurgeon. The 2 things don't coexist. So I'm very fortunate to have 3 beautiful kids and 2 dogs. One is on the way.
So awesome.
Very full life. My husband's a professional. He's a professor. And so between the 2 of us, we have a very full plate.
Yeah. Well, congrats
like
on your success. I'm barely hanging on with 2 and just doing the podcast. So my hat's off to you for, you know, just crushing it. How old are your kids?
I have a daughter that's 10, one that's 9, and then my son is 6.
So you're in the throes of homeschooling. How's that working out?
You know, it's been a challenge. I think women throughout this pandemic have almost an impossible challenge in many ways. And because now not only are we working from home and trying to manage our careers, but we're also responsible for the children's education. plus maintaining your home and making sure that, you know, all of your basic chores are done, and cooking. And so I think, you know, women have this very difficult challenge right now. And that's how I see it. I think, you know, I've learned through the years that perfection isn't always the best policy. And what's best is really to look at the value structure that you have as your family and say, okay, is it important that every single assignment gets completed? Or is it important that we learn how to read in the next 2 months, you know? And so just taking a step back and really looking at the big picture and saying, what's important and what's not? What's relevant and what's not? And what works for our family and what doesn't? And I think if you go into things with those basic tenets, that hopefully you'll be successful in whatever you do.
So agree with everything you said.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, I mean, I have a preschooler and a baby, so I haven't even bothered to, you know, for us, it's been about trying to work a little bit on one side and then trying to play. That's been our focus, really. My son isn't at an age where he understands what's really happening. I can tell he's going a little bit, you know, crazy in here, and he's wondering why he hasn't seen any of his friends and stuff. But besides that, I think he actually is excited that mom and dad are home so much. So it hasn't completely affected that for us.
Yeah. And I think what I've seen in my kids is they've become more independent. They're taking a lot more initiative than they ever did. And small things, we have a wonderful housekeeper, but she's not coming to our home right now. And so all of a sudden the kids are learning how to do all the chores in the house. They're learning how to walk the dogs. They're, you know, and so I've actually been, and it's nice that we're home so that we can see that and we can teach them. And that's been another aspect of it that, although it's been difficult, I almost don't want to let it go. You know, we were on this hamster wheel and all of a sudden it stopped. And now we're home and our calendar is clear. And, you know, all of the activities have stopped. And so it's given us a really nice chance as a family to really take a step back and enjoy time together. So I'm looking at it in a very positive way. You know, I mean, obviously there's a lot of challenges in the medical field. There's challenges every day when I go to work. You know, I'm seeing a lot of really sad scenarios and a lot of heartbreak from a lot of families. So I think as long as we can stay positive for our kids, that's one thing that we can do that's going to help them get through this. And I think that's what society needs, quite frankly.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what is work looking like for a neurosurgeon right now?
So, you know, a lot of the elective procedures, or if you could call them elective, the surgeries that we normally would schedule, a patient comes into the office, those are all, we've stopped everything. So right now we're essentially taking emergency call at the hospital for patients that come in with strokes or brain bleeds. There's obviously not a lot of car accidents and things like that right now. So it's driving, but you know, we're still going into work. We've offered to help with the ICU doctors or anybody that needs help in terms of, you know, helping to manage their workload as well. It's been a really challenging time to be a physician. I think, you know, you could turn on any news channel right now and see some of the struggles that my colleagues are having around the country. One of the interesting things, I think, is my kids have always known about my job. They know that I take care of patients in emergencies, and they've always fully respected that. You know, they always know if I have to go, I have to go. But in this scenario, what I thought was interesting is so many of my children's friends, so many of their family friends are home, you know, and so they say to me, well, how come you can't work from home? You know, my so-and-so's mom's working from home, or so-and-so's mom's working from home. And so, you know, just to have to explain to them, well, you know, you're fulfilling a role that's much needed right now. And although it's me not being home for them, it's a greater goal, you know, and I hope that that's something that as they get older, they can learn more about and really appreciate.
I mean, my mom wasn't doing anything close to what you were doing, but watching my mom work when I was a little girl and learning, you know, about her work ethic and just knowing how much it meant to her, you know, to also contribute to the household like that and go out and help other people with what she was doing and stuff. I think that really inspired me as a little girl.
Yeah. And that's great. That's great. I mean, that's what we want to do for our young girls, you know, is we want to inspire them by watching us and by watching other strong women so they can go out in the world and achieve. And that's the goal.
How'd you get into it?
You know, I was kind of an odd kid, you know, honestly. My parents, I grew up internationally. So I was born in the U.S. and then we moved to South Korea when I was a young girl. Hmm. And I grew up in Seoul. And my father was in the oil business. So we moved all over the world. We lived in Saudi Arabia for many years. And because of that, I didn't have a lot of long-lasting friendships as a child. And I had my sister, and it was always my sister and I, but I fell in love with books. And I would spend time going to the library and reading about, you know, all sorts of things. And I started getting interested in biology when I was a kid and learning about how things work and different aspects of the human body. And my parents encouraged it. So, you know, there were no doctors in my family. My parents were academics. So, you know, they were PhD. They taught classes, professors, but there was no MDs in my family. But they recognized that I had an interest. And so they said, you know, let's learn more about it. Let's get you a microscope. Let's do all of these things. And so that kind of sparked my interest when I was a little kid. And then as I got older, I started involving myself in, you know, research labs, or if there was any chance I could get in to see surgery at the hospital, or, you know, any family friends that we knew that were doctors, I would contact them and say, you know, can I shadow you for a day? And so all that kind of built on itself. And then when I was in my early 20s, actually, my mother had a life-threatening brain aneurysm rupture. And it was an event that happened in my life that wasn't expected. You know, it was a beautiful day and she was out with a friend and developed a sudden severe headache and, you know, passed out. And I was in my early 20s. She was 49. Is something that you never could really fathom or even think about at that age. And her life was saved by a neurosurgeon who operated on her and treated the aneurysm. So it was almost as if I had the interests to begin with, but then this event happened. And after that, you know, I really fell in love with the field and the thought of really saving somebody else's family member became kind of this amazing thing that you could do if you trained hard enough and learned more. So that was how my path started.
So, you know, quarantine has really taught me that I'm like 80s mom crafty.
Yeah, I know. I know. I've always known this about myself. I feel like it's really highlighted now, but I'm so glad that I got my KiwiCo box. Did you get yours?
I did. I love the box, guys. I actually got two boxes because one for Dries, one for Cyrus, and KiwiCo has boxes for all ages, whether they're interested in science or art, and it really helps them develop like their own independence and their own creativity. I am not always the most creative when it comes to crafts, and this is something that I can actually sit and enjoy with my kids. And I will say, I was so proud watching my almost 6-year-old completely do this by himself. Like, he didn't need me to hold his hand. He didn't need me to read any instructions to him. He took it upon himself to build the rocket launcher. And just seeing him be so proud of what he created was very, very cool for me. It was one of those, like, yes, mom win moments. So
yeah,
I love my KiwiCo. And I know you like it too. Have you done yours with Nikosh?
I mean, I love it. I mean, Nikosh has loved, he got like a barnyard that he put together and it was a really fun project. But I'll tell you, I love it for Isla because when you have a baby, you're always Googling the stuff like that they need at these milestones and stuff. And instead of trying to find the projects for them, they give it to you because it's a science and art subscription box for kids and it's tested by kids and it's more fun than any game really that you can play. So I just really love that they have all of the essentials for each of my kids at these different stages in their lives.
For me, it's so hard as a parent being stuck at home, trying to always think of creative things to do with my kids. So I am a big, big fan of this.
Absolutely. KiwiCo is redefining play with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or every kid at heart because it's actually really fun for all of us too with KiwiCo.
Get your first month free on select crates at kiwico.com/fam. That's kiwico.com/fam. Woo! A few years ago, my mom, it was like maybe 7-8 years ago, my mom had You would definitely, I'm probably butchering this and you can correct me on the language, but she had a, what is it when your brain bleeds, it's a, not, it's a hemorrhage. What is it called?
Did she have, was it a stroke?
She had hit her head. She had hit her head. She couldn't even remember when she hit her head. And then she was very dizzy for like a day. And she was like, she used to be a teacher. She was writing at school, teaching her classroom. And she had like fallen down and what is it called when your brain is bleeding on the inside?
Does she have a subdural hematoma?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank okay. you. Thank you. A subdural hematoma. Okay. And so she was saved by somebody like you too.
Well, you know what? If we're sharing neurosurgeon stories about saving our moms, I actually truly, when I was in my early 20s, my mom got into a car accident where she was thrown from the window of her car. And the person that saved her, even though I know doctors are not supposed to help people outside of the hospital, you know, outside of actually working, this neurosurgeon actually got out of his car. He saw people were starting to like gather around her and stuff, pulled over, got out of his car, made everybody get away from her so that they wouldn't touch her. He had some stuff with him. I don't remember what it was exactly, what he did, but he definitely cared for her while she was out there. She had broken, actually, she had fractured her C1. And he helped her and got her to the hospital. She was actually in the hospital for 3 or 4 months and almost didn't come through. And then when she got out, he was the first person we went to go see was the neurosurgeon who saved her, because it would have been, I got kind of choked up about that. You know, it would have been so much worse for her had he not been there.
Yeah. Wow. I'm so grateful and thankful that she's okay. You
Me
know,
too.
That's very life threat, scary thing to go through.
Yeah. Walking, everything. She's completely, completely fine after all of that.
So Susan and I can, we're both grateful for people.
Yeah. we're like, we're not worthy.
You know, I forgot. I know Susan told me that story, but just obviously hearing it again, it, you know, it's terrifying. Yeah. So thank you for that. And on that note, you obviously deal with really hard conversations with people of all ages, I imagine, on a weekly basis or something. So you're probably pretty familiar with speaking to people about tragedy, which is what we really wanted to get your insight on today, is how to talk to your kids about the pandemic, the crisis, how to navigate their feelings, how to navigate our own feelings, any insight you could share.
And even, you know, even our friends and family, you know, we're sitting here, my in-laws, my own parents, they want to see the kids, they're all alone. You know, just what do we do? What do we say to them?
Yes, you're smart. Help us.
Well, you know, I can speak from my own experience and, you know, what I have other women friends who are physicians and we all kind of talk about these things. And, you know, the truth is it's hard enough for an adult to deal with the pandemic and all of the changes. But of course, even harder for a child to say, okay, now your summer camps are canceled, or now you can't see your friends, now you can't go to the pool, you know, all sorts of things are happening to the kids too. I think for the kids though, it starts with education. And I think once they understand the basics of it, obviously it's different if a child's in preschool versus a child's, you know, more of a toddler versus a young adult and so on. But, you know, simple things like teaching them about face masks. Why do we need to wear them? What are they? You know, what are they protecting you from? And hand washing. Why are we washing our hands so often? What does that mean? You know, why can't you see your grandparents? And really trying to teach them about the virus itself and what it is and what it does. And obviously I have a husband who's a biology professor. So, you know, he's given us a crash course in the virus itself and what it does. And, you know, the spike proteins, which are the red dots that we see on top of the virus when we see it on TV, and what the virus is trying to do, it's trying to find the next person it goes to. So that's kind of how I've explained it to the kids, is that the reason why we're not all together, the reason why we wear the masks, is because the virus is always trying to find somebody new. So if you stay away from each other, that prevents the virus from spreading. Also to explain to the kids that they may have it and not know. You know, you could be somebody that has the virus and you wouldn't know. And so you're not only protecting yourself from other people, you're protecting other people from you. And so that's the whole reason behind the masks and behind, you know, the hand washing and all the distancing.
Do you think that there's like an appropriate age to talk about like death with kids or like crisis or tragedy? Like, do you think it's like 4 years old, you can handle it, or 10 years old or whatever? I am speaking because when my mom passed away last year, I felt like I had to talk to my, he was 4 at the time, my 4-year-old, about where grandma went, because she was always in our lives. And so, you know, he saw that she was sick for a few months and then she was gone and we couldn't go to grandma's house anymore and everything changed. And I, you know, I felt like I just had to say, you know, she died and she lives in the sky now. We're not religious. So there was no like talk about heaven or anything like that really. But I, you know, I always sort of questioned whether or not I said too much to him and if I screwed him up pretty much, you know, like, cause I'm naturally a really honest person. If you meet me, you'll know a lot of weird intimate things about me probably pretty quickly. It's just my nature. And so I've always been very honest with my kids. Even my 3-year-old now, you know, he'll say like, where's Grandma Valerie? And I'll say, well, she lives in the sky now. And you know, she's hanging out in the clouds with the birds or whatever. I'll say some version of that, but I never know if like, that's, I don't know, appropriate. And so any insight on whether or not I've screwed up my kids would be great.
Yeah, I mean, even now with the pandemic, I think that applies too. How much do we tell them, right? Like you were saying, yeah, virus is trying to find a new person to take on. And it almost sounds scary to me. You know, it sounds scary to me as an adult. So I wonder how scary that would sound to a kid.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, and I think, you know, children in many ways are a lot more resilient than we give them credit for. I also think that in many ways, you know, when my kids were young, I wanted to shield them from what I did in terms of a patient at the hospital passed away or there was a car accident, somebody died. And I didn't want to use the D word around them, you know, death. I never wanted to say it. But then as they got older, you know, they wanted to know, well, what happened? You know, it's not just something happened and you're upset about it. It's what happened. They want to know the details of it, you know? And so I think the way that you phrased it to your child is very appropriate. I mean, there, you know, I think we can't shield them from the realities of what's happening in the world and what's happening around them. And same thing with the pandemic. You know, I think if we give them the education and we say, this is what's happening, and there are a lot of people that may pass away, they may die, there may be tragedy, there may be loss. I think it's going to make them stronger. It's going to give them more resilience because we've prepared them for something like that. So that would be, you know, that would be my advice on it. And I've done that with them. You know, it's challenging when the news is on, you know, and we have CNN on in our home or other news stations, and you know, they have the death toll numbers on the side, like a running total. And that's tough. And you know, the other day my daughter looked at it and said, you know, 55,000 people, you know, what does that mean? And that concept really shook her, you know, this, at the hospital, we lose one patient and it's such a huge tragedy. I mean, to think about 55,000 people dying in the United States, it's almost overwhelming to imagine. That loss, that level of loss. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, to tell them, you know, this may be happening on TV, but you're safe, you're in at the house, you're at home, you're with your parents, you know, we're taking all the precautions that we can, and just kind of giving them that extra assurance that that you're going to be okay, you know, if we take the precautions.
Susan, I feel like you're kind of going to be one of those people that has like a quarantine glow up. Meanwhile, I'm drowning over here and looking like a rat.
Are you not looking in the mirror? Because I think you look gorgeous, but I am actually glowing up right now. I've been spending this time, you know, just like really focusing on my beauty routine. And one thing I've been doing is becoming hairless because I have a Kenzie device at home. Kenzie is the latest trend in laser hair removal. And at Kenzie, they believe in keeping things simple and making your life easier. And that is what I'm doing right now. Once a week after I shave, I get out of the shower and then I use my Kenzie under my arms, on my legs, and I'm becoming hairless. I haven't actually seen all my hair completely disappear, but I have seen that my hair has gotten a lot finer and softer and it's growing back a little bit slower, and I'll take it.
Absolutely. It's just such an easy, effective thing to do at home. And since I know a lot of people are stuck in their houses and they are not going anywhere, this is a nice way to do something to make yourself feel better when this is all over.
Absolutely. Kenzie, which is K-E-N-Z-Z-I, is a premium at-home IPL handset, and it allows you to significantly reduce unwanted hair growth. You no longer have to go all the way to the salon for laser hair removal because we can't anyway. Kenzie allows you to do it from the comfort of your own home.
So we have a code for you guys. Woo, woo, woo. With the code FAM, F-A-M, you get $55 off your very own Kenzie. That means the whole at-home laser system will only cost you $174. This is less than the total cost of just one in-clinic laser session. Start spending less time shaving so you can do more fun things that you love. Go to Kenzie.com. That's K-E-N-Z-Z-I.com and use the code FAM for $55 off your purchase plus free shipping. Woo!
What I'm finding is it's our elderly who are a little bit more stubborn. Some of them are obviously sheltering in place and taking it very serious, but some of them aren't. They don't take it serious. You know, we have to get into little arguments with our parents over here to remind them that they need to be safe. What are those conversations like? Is it just tough love we got to give them?
You know, I had to ground my parents and they didn't take very kindly to that, you know? You know, I just told them, listen, you have got to stay home. If you need something, I will get it for you and leave it in your garage. You know, I had to literally ground them. You know, having a daughter that's a doctor that goes in and sees what's happening on a moment-to-moment basis, I think has helped shed some light for them because they know. I think it's difficult if you're sitting at home kind of thinking to yourself, well, what is really happening out in the world? I'm seeing these things on TV, but maybe they're not happening in my immediate area. But for someone who works at a hospital, it's completely changed. I mean, everything about my job has changed in the last 6 weeks. You know, we're wearing masks everywhere we go from the minute we walk in the hospital to the minute we leave. We have our temperature checked. We have a questionnaire that we are asked when we walk in about whether we've been exposed to anybody with coronavirus, whether anybody in our home has a cough, a fever. Even the way that we operate has changed. I now wear an N95 mask plus a surgical mask plus a face shield to do even very basic procedures. So I think kind of giving insight from a medical standpoint, saying this is real, it's happening. And, you know, I think that's helpful for people. Things like what you're doing, these podcasts are helpful for people because they're going to listen to them and say, this is real, this is happening. And, you know, these are people who are in the health field that are dealing with these things.
Do you think that people should be worried about going to the doctor if they need to? I know I've had these thoughts, you know, like just cooking or something and thinking about, you know, I sliced my thumb and it wasn't bad, thankfully, but I thought about, you know, well, if it had been worse, would I have gone to the hospital or would I have been scared? You know, what are your thoughts on that stuff?
I would say unless it's something that's absolutely necessary to try to avoid going into the hospitals at the moment, you know, if it's something like a cut that you have on your hand, you could always try to call your primary care physician first, unless it's bleeding, obviously profusely, but, you know, and see if you can see them as a first line or contact them first. They've even suggested for patients, if you have developed symptoms of coronavirus, to contact your primary care doctor first so they can send you for the testing so you don't even need to come into the emergency rooms. You know, those are some of the sorts of things. But, you know, obviously there's all sorts of medical procedures that people need. Like at some point, women need to get their mammograms. You know, I mean, we have to go get our physicals at the pediatrician's office, all of these things. You know, there may be kids with braces that need dental appointments. And so there are all these things that are going to have to start happening, and how we go about it is going to be really challenging.
You know, that brings up a question. What do you think the future, like next few weeks, looks like from your perspective?
I think we're going to slowly start to open back up. So Illinois, we've decided to shelter in place. The governor's decided to shelter in place until the end of May. But we've been given the green light at the hospital to start elective surgery as of May 11th. Mm. So what we're doing is kind of a staged, like, tiered system, basically, where we say which patients need surgery the most and what's like almost like a triage. Mm-hmm. And so we've started doing that. And I think we have to, because as much as it's terrifying to be dealing with the virus and patients are terrified to come into the hospital, there's still patients that need surgeries done. And, you know, healthcare issues don't stop because of COVID. I mean, people are still having strokes. There's still things that are happening. And unfortunately, they're not calling 911. They're basically dealing with it at home. And in many instances, not, you know, they end up passing away because of it. So I think we are slowly starting to open back up very cautiously and, you know, tracking the numbers very carefully so that we can be safe as we possibly can be.
Are you optimistic? You seem like somebody who has taken a negative situation with your, you know, the accident that your mom was in and turned it into an amazing thing. And it sounds like you've got a great outlook with finding all the silver linings in quarantine, which I am so appreciative. And I feel like I need to keep reminding myself of the silver linings, because I can get into like a really
all of us
place where I feel like, you know, it's so, like, I feel sorry for myself sometimes. And I just want to stop with the, you know, ungrateful behavior, but it's like such this like ping pong match in my head of like, be grateful, but I'm frustrated, be grateful, but I'm, you know, so I would love to know if you have, if like you're optimistic about this.
Yeah, no, I really am. I mean, I think we're going to go and we're going to be America 2.0 after this. You know, we're going to see a very different America. And, you know, we have always been a strong country. We always will be. And I think things are going to change. You know, we're going to be more compassionate as a society, you know, I think to one another. And this virus has brought out so many different echelons of society. It's brought out fear. It's brought out anger. It's brought out helplessness, hopelessness. But I've also seen, you know, some aspects of society where, you know, now I have a neighbor who's buying my 80-year-old neighbor groceries. And, you know, we're reaching out to help one another. And so those really touching moments, the things I've seen at the hospital where nurses have gone above and beyond with compassion and empathy and, you know, bringing their own cell phones into rooms with patients so they can FaceTime their family members. And, you know, those are the sorts of things I've seen. And so I have a lot of hope about where we're going to be. And, you know, I think we're going to be a more technological society. I think we're going to be doing more telemedicine, telehealth, where, you know, the patient may not have to come into our office. We can do it on a Zoom or a Skype. And we're going to grow from this in a way that maybe we haven't in the past, you know, because I think as a society, we can get very egocentric about our place and our role. And I think this is really going to open a lot of people's eyes about what do you really need to survive and what can you do without?
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you.
Thank you so much for your time. If there's any like final things you want to say, or if there's a way that people can connect with you on social media, if you're into that kind of thing, if not, you know, no worries.
People can feel free. They can follow me on Instagram. I'm at Dr. Sherry Dewan.
Okay.
I'm also on Twitter and I have a website. I'm working on a book that I hope to have out in the next year. So hopefully it's about inspiring young women and men, to follow the path less traveled. So, you know, if people want to reach out, please do. I'm happy to help and serve as a resource, especially to anybody interested in going into a field that you may not be told that you're the perfect person for.
Well, we have to have you back on when you are done with your book so we can hear all about it. And I just want to say thank you again. It was really, really a treat to talk to you.
Oh, thank you both so much. It was really nice to be with you guys.
All right, so that was our talk with Dr. Dewan. I feel like I feel better for some reason. Do you feel better about that?
I do.
Better about everything right now?
I do, and I just appreciate her honesty, and I just appreciate like having conversation with a woman who's so smart and successful. Like, that's awesome. It makes me feel cool. Like, maybe it rubbed off on me a little.
I think she had some really great insight. I really think that, you know, if I have to start having these hard conversations, which I haven't yet, I think I'm a little more prepared for it.
Good. Good, good, good. Well, we definitely hope you guys enjoyed that episode and got some good takeaways. It would be great if you could subscribe to our podcast and leave us a nice review, preferably 5 stars. Thank you. And, you know, you can always DM me or Susan or the fam Instagram account with any other topic suggestions or guests that you want us to try and get a hold of. It's almost a little easier to get a hold of people and have them on now because everybody's kind of stuck at home. So maybe we can get some big daddies up in here like Dr. Duan again. Anyway, that's all. Love you. Cheerio.